Rejoice, dear listener, for your endless march through the internet has finally produced something to add meaning to your empty, meandering existence. Your friends at Idiots Discuss the Universe are digging up musical gems of the past and deciding whether they have any shine left or not. Welcome to Old Gold.
So wait,
if it would have just kept doing the da-doom-da-doom-da-doom when it broke into that part of it for a little bit longer, I could have maybe been on board with for 6 minutes of the side boogie.
Oh, boy.
What are you guys drinking there?
She's hefty.
We're drinking a Fort George Waves of Silence Imperial Stout.
And we're looking at the bottle, not some nice packaging
branding.
Admiring that branding.
I'm not a beer drinker, but if I were, I would have been lured by that packaging. Absolutely.
I was.
It's really good.
It's so good.
I don't really drink stouts, Imperial stouts.
I drink IPAs all the time, and I just like, you need something hefty in the winter.
See, I was always just like, I moved to the hard liquor in the winter, and I always just did like the Pilsner or like the Super Blonde, like light, like goodish beers in the summertime.
I have no appetite for, I'll do a Cerveza in the summer, but I just hate all those wheat beers.
What about like, do like a Rolling Rock? How do you feel about like a Rolling Rock?
Yeah, it's like some garbage. Beer.
Garbage? You think that's garbage? Huh.
It's all, all that stuff at that level is the same. Rolling Rock, PBR.
I think Rolling Rock's above PBR.
Really?
I always thought so.
I don't think so.
Maybe back in the day, but now, like, PBR, Rolling Rock, Rainier, Olympia, Old German.
Yep.
What about Heineken? Where does that rank?
It's still kind of garbage. It's supposed to be better, but it tastes the same.
It just comes in a bottle instead.
See, it used to be imported and better, I think, Heineken and stuff, like when we maybe, I don't know. The Rolling Rock, I don't know.
I like a good.
It is a huge thing, though. Rolling Rock was a rare beer that you had to go to like the one beer place in town that had like like weird stuff.
They probably got bought out by like Anheuser-Busch.
Yeah, it's not that way anymore. Yeah. I like a good Pilsner, though. Mm-hmm. Like a actually good Pilsner. Like from, I don't know.
But that's the thing. He's like any lager, you can put a lime in it and it immediately becomes better.
That's true.
I will concede that point.
Yeah.
Especially if I'm drinking on a
bed. I even like the way they do it in Germany where they put a little syrup in the bottom of it and they kind of like,
I'm going to Germany in April, so I'll test that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sick.
So I will drink of the fair.
Mm-hmm.
I will drink of the local fair. Mm.
Try to get some of the original Budweiser over there. It's delicious. That's a delicious thing.
What are you going to Germany for?
My friend Noah lives.
Noah.
He's been teaching English out in Germany, and so me and the homies from university are gonna go.
Where in Germany?
He lives outside of Frankfurt.
Outside of Frankfurt, okay.
But we're gonna be hitting all the stops. We're going to first day we're flying into Frankfurt, then going to Munich, then Berlin.
Strasbourg.
I there is an itinerary. I'm like not super sure, but we're probably staying like two or three days in each.
Yeah, it's very cool. Like, there's
I'm
lots.
I'm really excited to go.
Berlin is so awesome.
I know it's like the fucking.
I just kind of like I got like my poor friend Aline when I got there. Like I'd already been traveling for so long, and she had such a nice apartment there, and we just overstayed our welcome like motherfuckers at that place.
Yeah.
But like Berlin was a great place.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Get rid of us.
Oh my god, yeah, so cool.
Why is Berlin the hub?
It's like an art hub of it's like there's like Paris, there's London, there's Berlin. It's just like a lot. It's just kind of like lots of creative, cool people making music and art, and it's just very like hip and awesome.
Yeah, and it's kind of got this sort of like S&M underground dark industrial sort of feel to it that is sets it apart from like a London or a Paris or something like that. It's kind of like
more metropolitan, but
you know, like Lou Reed goes to Berlin to make an album, and then
David Bowie, and
yeah,
all these, you know, dudes. Berlin Goji. Gotcha. Yeah, fuck, talking about old gold, man. Fucking Bowie Berlin Trilogy. Those three albums.
Oh, wait, yeah. Which three? Which three was it?
Low, Heroes, and blanking on the...
Low Heroes. Aladdin? No. Station to Station?
No, maybe. Might have been Station.
I think it's Station to Station. Maybe. But speaking of old gold, that wouldn't work because I've heard all of those albums. And this is the rules of old gold, okay, is we pick songs from the past that at least one person we're redoing one of these songs. We had a technical difficulty and we lost some episodes, but we had like a gem that we feel like we really want to share with you tonight, and that's the one that we're going to do tonight, and hopefully that you've not heard it.
I would be so surprised if he's heard this.
All right, I'm so ready.
But we're gonna be in the 80s for this episode and kind of the ones coming up as well.
Fuck yeah.
But this is a little ditty from a British band, came up sort of in like the early 80s, 81, 82, and their name is Gene Loves Jezebel.
Never heard of them.
All right, cool. So we're in the clear.
Yes.
And normally we just listen to the audio.
This is just Craig music. At this point,
I can't say that this is like something that is like in my rotation.
Well,
at
it's
all.
Not okay. Something I discovered. It's something you.
But it is a
know.
Song that has stuck with me over the past and is kind of a fun one, okay, for this series. But yeah. No, I can't say that I totally like enjoy this. I enjoy this for certain reasons, but
it's
like
an experience.
It's an experience. Yeah.
Amazing.
But it did hit the charts. I mean, it got to like number 44 at the charts in America. Woo! And maybe like 18, 17 or something. I had a lot more of the information down on the last episode. I'm just making this up. But like 17 or 18 in Britain. And they were kind of a deal for like 10 years or so. And
it's a long ass run.
They're fronted by twin brothers.
Bummer.
who are both from like reading through the history of the band, just unbearable assholes. And they broke up and they both started bands called Gene Loves Jezebel. And they concurrently tour, I think to this day, both under these two different names. Yes.
They're in competing names. So there's three bands.
No, there was one original band where the brothers were
but
in
two,
the band.
Right. Two offshoots.
Two offshoots.
And then they both broke off into the real Gene Loves Jezebel.
The two real ones.
And they both refused to break up the offshoot band. So there are two offshoot bands that continue to perform,
so
I believe, to anyone that will sit through one of their performances to this day, they will show up and they will do a performance for you.
Damn.
Well, one of them, one of the twins.
That's perseverance.
Yeah.
Right
which,
there.
Oh, so which real Gene Loves Jezebel are we getting?
Yeah.
This is the original one. This is the,
all right.
This is the shiniest that the diamond ever got is
word.
This song right here.
I'm so excited. I want to listen to it.
This is a song called The Motion of Love, and it's from 1987. And we're going to watch the video just so you get the full effect of how incredible.
I'm so ready.
Do you want to look it up on there? Do you want me to play it?
I'll play it over here.
Okay.
That'd be great.
Perfect.
God. That's such a weird band name.
Gene Loves Jezebel.
So weird.
Those are strange names to pick. Gene.
I don't know. It's impossible to name a band.
Yeah, it is.
Like
it's very difficult.
You and I are fucking experts in the frustration of naming bands.
Oh my god. Way harder than writing music.
God, yeah. Oh, these are some fucking moosed up hair. Oh, that dude looks like a douche.
Oh boy.
Oh my god. Oh.
You know I'm waiting for you. I want some
This is so bad. This vocals are so shitty. He's not even playing the guitar.
So fucking
awful. What is this? What is this modulation?
I love the Spandau Ballet drummer. That's my favorite.
This is like one of the worst songs I've ever heard.
Oh, look at it. Getting intense.
Oh my god. Thank god it's almost over.
I don't think we need to.
Oh my god. That was seriously so shitty.
It was even worse the second time.
Oh shit, yes.
I was like excited. I was like, oh, is this gonna be some like sweet old school like synth pop jammer that like slid through the crack? Motion of love. Like, did they just? I have this feeling because like basically in that chorus there wasn't a melody. Emotion of love. It was like, and I feel like they did the vocal for that chorus a bunch of times, and that dude could never sing it right.
Yeah.
So they took the one that had the least amount of bad notes.
Yep.
And they're like, all right, well, you can't hit when you go up to the next partial. You can't hit that last note. So you just make a just sort of wild dog barking noise.
And he made some good wild dog barking noise.
That's the funny part. It's like those were like the best takes that they got. Mm-hmm. That was all the cream of the crop that we just heard.
The reason I ever came into contact with this band is like they used to have like this the hot track of the week on MTV that was like the buzz clip or whatever, and they played it like every hour for the whole week, and this was one of the very first ones of that series.
This is terrible. It is so,
but it scarred into my like 15-year-old brain in a way that like I just couldn't even believe.
It's a special kind of terrible.
But I also now I'm beginning to like it in the context of like as like the score for a scene where like something bad is happening. I got the first one was like some sort of like Abu Ghraib torture scenario where this song is just being played backwards while they're like oh, it almost might be good if it was just like some poor motherfucker with like a bag over their head with like too many lights on in a room and it's just that song, and then it's just like and then it like maybe just like there's some sort of like way you with editing trick you would show like the passage of time and it's just still that guy, but maybe he's just like shaking.
It's like all he can sing when he gets out. Yeah, or after like 48 hours.
Because I just watched The Silence of the Lambs and like maybe it's like a Buffalo Bill type tucking the wiener between your legs and dancing.
Yeah, I get a little bit of that. I get a little bit of that from the guy in the pink in the pink overcoat.
Or like
I watch the video, get
like
a little
Reservoir Dogs. That scene in Reservoir Dogs where he's like cutting his ear off.
Yeah. Oh, very
that part,
good. Yeah,
you know.
See, I think it would be fun that like have it arranged for like at your funeral, like having the here's the song that he'd like you to play, and then have it mixed so it's just that last chorus, and you just mix it so it plays that last chorus like 25 times.
Oh my god!
And you make all of your loved ones sit there and listen to like the motion of love for like a half an hour, and just see who can make it. Just see who can make it.
That's a bummer.
Yeah.
It's a huge
the ultimate send off.
They'd be less sad to see you go. That would really like fix the, like it would kind of like end the funeral and kind of like a funny thing.
Hey, he was
like,
kind of an asshole,
really?
Actually.
Is it ever going to go? You know, like they would kind of like, it would be an interesting way to do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe like an open casket. Like I know open caskets don't work like this. Like normally you, when you have an open casket funeral, it's like the casket's already open, but I think it would be kind of more theatrical if there was like a, maybe like an automated lever where like the top half of the casket goes up.
The motion of love.
Yeah. And it's just like, and, now this is a slightly different way of doing an open funeral, but this was in his will. And we'll now open the casket and just like, and as it just like plays, it's like a fucking one of those like greeting cards that plays something terrible. It's just like motion of love, and it just takes so long. It just takes so long to fully open.
Yeah. That's,
oh god.
Can we talk about the other dude, the weird dude in the background who's like the other twin who just kind of doesn't like do anything? He just like stands around and dances, and sometimes is like, I know how to get it. Like, you know, like I know what I want. Like, what is he? He was just dancing around the whole time. He provides.
He provides no.
It's like
value.
It's like he like glommed on to something that's already shitty. You know, like hitched to the horse to the
wrong wagon.
Yeah,
but he gives it kind of a creepy vibe.
He does.
He does give
he's
it a creepy vibe.
He's the creepiest part because he's just like lurking in the background, like dancing all weird.
He's kind of dancing all like
Ugh, that guy.
That dude did combine the actions of lurking and dancing equally. Yeah. In a way that I didn't think was possible. I didn't know you could lurk while you danced.
Yeah, that's the lurking. Yeah. The lurker.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
But so when Old Gold is not a, it's not like a literal title. It's very sarcastic.
Not always. Yeah. Well, things can be gold for different reasons.
Yeah.
Like this is a piece of gold because of how terrible it is. It's like comedic gold now.
It is sort of. It's something that really deserves to have more of an eye on it. Because compared to like Rick Astley or something like that, this is way more embarrassing. And it just kind of avoided the spotlight for a long time. Yeah. So what I can do to bring people to know a little bit about Gene
Nuzdeff. You're just trying
Nuzdeff.
To share your pain.
That's what you want everyone to be miserable.
What my plan is that like someday when we get like to be an established podcast, we're going to have an IDTU cruise and Gene Loves Jezebel is going to be one of the bands that comes and plays on the cruise. Yeah, you're the MC in it.
This in the headlines.
You're
entire crew jumps off of a cruise ship. Dude, we would have people jumping overboard.
There would be full.
Can you imagine the hilarity?
Yeah.
The hilarity of it? It would be amazing.
It'd be like meta hilarious.
Invite both of the bands, both of the versions of the bands, and have them play on both sides of the ship simultaneously. And like, it could be the battle of the Gene Loves Jezebels on one night of the cruise.
Yeah, the news line will just be like, 300 people dead.
Yeah.
Like misled podcast crews turns bloody.
Our listens would go up like fucking crazy. Yeah. That's
no bad publicity.
All you have to do is just get
just get a musical blood feud.
Right. And a bunch of mass suicide on a ship in international waters. Because you're not liable. International waters,
that's
baby.
Right.
International
And that's
waters.
Where the whole villain with the yacht thing.
See, that's not true. Do you know the way that marine law works?
Or you sail into, they can prosecute you.
No, it's actually the law. It's international waters is only the water. The country that you sailed out of, those laws apply to the boat that you're on.
The boat that you have the flag of, right? The one that you registered under.
Well, I mean,
so
yes,
we're just register our shit under Liberia.
Ah!
Yeah.
There you go.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Gotcha. Got you there. Cool. What'd you get to do
now?
The
murder boat sails on.
Yeah.
Yes. We'll sail another day.
If you're not registering your cruise ship in Liberia,
you're doing
you don't
it wrong.
Know how to run a fucking cruise ship.
Oh, yeah,
that's what
don't.
I got to say.
But what if it turned out to be like a comedy situation? Like people just sat at tables with their drinks and were just like, like laughing at the band.
That's
Do you
fine
think anyone
too.
Would?
That's fine too.
That would be the,
if I was
the
in a room,
optimistic situation.
If I was trapped in a room with you guys while this song played on repeat, I would try and kill both of you.
Two bands playing this song on opposite ends of the room simultaneously.
I cannot buy a ticket fast enough.
One of the real twins, and then I'm sure they get like a
stand-in
wondering
twin.
When they split up, if the guy that just creeps around in the back hired a singer so he could just creep around in the back behind the new singer.
Who's the creeper for the other guy?
He took over the vocals. That's what I want to know. I don't know, and I don't want to look it up.
Oh, boy.
But anyway, thanks for tuning into this. They're not all going to be gold.
We all just heave a sigh at the end.
It's just old. But I'll make it up.
I haven't been this disappointed in so long.
I can taste your disappointment.
Wow. I thought I was going to hear it good.
No, you are. You are. It's not. The evening's not over, but for this episode is over, and you've suffered enough. Thank you all very much, and I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry.
Is this on Spotify?
This is
gold?
On Spotify.
It is?
No, these people have a following.
Oh, boy.
They've been going for like almost 50 years now, if they're still touring. They're like the Drifters of glam Brit 80s pop stuff.
See, that...
Well, that makes me feel good because you can make something shitty and still people will like it.
Yep.
Yes.
You don't even have to make something good. Mm-hmm. You just gotta make something.
Yeah.
It kind of makes me feel better, but also makes me feel bad.
Well,
it's melancholy. Yeah,
but there's hope out there. You know, just think how stupid average is, and then half of people are dumber than that. You just gotta make something for them. Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
You just gotta appeal to the lowest common denominator.
They got money
and they got time too.
They got time, they got money, and they don't got any taste. You just gotta like,
and that's what we're doing here.
The motion of love. They know what the motion of love is, though. They know that.
All right, God.
Well, until next time, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Old Gold.
Discuss the Universe is recorded in the IDTU studios located in Portland, Oregon. All opinions and commentary has been carefully researched by the technicians and scholars of IDTU Research Academy, and therefore should be greeted with healthy skepticism and disbelief. No idiots were harmed during the making of this podcast.